This is the July edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR Director Mike Crane is here to discuss the latest on WPR programming and operations, including our new weekend schedule, including coverage of the Republican and Democratic conventions coming up, new on-air staff, and more. Plus, he will answer your questions and respond to your feedback at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And congratulations. You're a grandpa twice now?
Yes. Matthew was born just a couple of days ago, and we're so excited he's going home today.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, let's talk a little bit about programming. The first weekend in July, we have a new schedule on the weekends. What's the reaction been so far?
Well, some people are very positive about it. Others are really missing the shows that were there. And my sort of preferred spot right now is to just sort of wait and see. One of the things that happens, and this is typical for radio stations and public radio anyway, is that summer listening tends to be a little more casual, and so a lot of times we'll hear about program changes come September as people start to get back to their regular patterns and notice things. So I expect that we'll hear about these changes, both positive and negative, for quite a while to come.
Right, and we've talked on Mondays with Mike, with you and with Mike Arnold for the past more than a few months about the changes coming, and people may not have even heard them yet.
So yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so, of course, the big change that everyone has been aware of is the change where WPR ended national production of What Do You Know? And so the last broadcast was June 25th, and then the whole new schedule came into place the following week. And as examples, we're now broadcasting a program we've had a lot of requests for right here on your show, Ask Me Another. Mm-hmm. That's at 10 a.m. on Saturdays now on the Ideas Network. And we've had great success on Sundays with Says You, which is a really fun word quiz show, and that's following. So it's still a quiz Saturday, but different. And then we follow with On Your Money, so that's a repeat of the Tuesday segment. That's at noon on Saturdays, and that is very different. We certainly hope people will come to like the new schedule, and that's why we picked it. So we'll see how that goes. And then the other thing that's going on, and it just takes a while to get here, is that we are working on a project we call WPR Next, which is to pilot new programs, possibly new podcasts. That's just getting started as we've shifted some staff around, and we won't have any real news to report on that for a little while yet.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe listeners have a reaction to the new programming lineup. Maybe listeners have an idea for WPR Next. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. WPR Director Mike Crane joins us once a month to talk with you about news about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. He usually joins us the first Monday of each month, but the first Monday of July was the 4th of July, so he's here with us on the second Monday. Lots of political stuff and political programming coming up, Mike. NPR News and the PBS NewsHour are planning joint coverage of the 2016 political conventions, and we are sending WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to cover both of the national conventions for Wisconsin Public Radio. What can listeners expect?
Well, one thing is, I think we all expect that at least the Republican convention may be very interesting listening or watching if people wish to watch. And there are a ton of Wisconsin angles on it because of the heavy involvement of Wisconsin politicians and in the whether it's the governor speaking there or Reince Priebus being involved in setting up the whole thing or Paul Ryan and so on, should be very interesting to cover. And that's why we've sent our Capitol Bureau chief, or will be sending Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson there. And so those Wisconsin angles, I think, will be a big deal. And I do want to thank listeners who have contributed to our Journalism Innovation Fund. They've made possible that opportunity to send Sean Johnson to both of those conventions.
No, that is great. And Sean Johnson, we have already lined him up to speak with us and to answer listener questions on our State Capitol Report, which we hold every Monday from 7 until 8. Sean will join us next week and the week after that to preview both of the conventions.
Yeah, and I think the Democratic Convention should also be interesting. The last we heard, we were about to see an endorsement coming from Bernie Sanders, but he has been taking his time brokering some of his particular positions, and so we'll see how that shakes out in terms of the Democratic Convention the week later.
So we'll have the joint coverage, too, of the conventions, and lots of convention coverage over the next couple of weeks. And we will also be holding candidate interviews with the candidates who are running in primaries. And, gosh, that's coming up right in early August. We have the state primary.
August 9th is the state primary. And this is interesting. This is a tradition that goes back on really before there was a Wisconsin Public Radio. It was in the 1930s that the folks that did WHA, WLBL, and the early state network determined that it was a good idea to invite candidates for statewide office to be on the radio and to have a forum, if you will, for people to understand what our candidates are interested in, what are their positions. And now that we have the call-in format, the opportunity as well, in some cases, to actually speak with those candidates as a listener. And so we encourage you to listen for those. That's going to be the 7 o'clock hour, right, Joy, on your show? And then from 3:30 to 4 on Central Time during those 2 weeks leading up to the Tuesday, August 9th primary election.
We will invite the candidates who are running in the primary for U.S. Senate and for the 3rd, 7th, and 8th congressional districts. So those will be the invites going out for the Joy Cardine Show. And Central Time will cover the 1st, 4th, and 6th congressional districts. And again, these are districts where there are primary races going on. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course we'll do it all over again for the general election as well. So, we do have some feedback coming in right now for programming. And if you have other questions or suggestions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Carol on Facebook writes, "I am a big fan of Rick Steves, and this was a really interesting program to me. One of the guests was our guide on a Rick Steves tour of Paris and a number of years ago. I love how Rick encourages Americans to travel and has good suggestions on how to do it." So yes, that's Rick Steves is the host of a new travel show on the Ideas Network.
Yep. It's new to us. It's been around for a couple of years, and we've had requests for it, and it's at 3 p.m. on Saturdays, Travel with Rick Steves. And it is different than the TV show. It's really designed for radio, and I think people will find it fun if they are interested in travel.
And we have some callers, including someone who wants to know, and maybe we should go back to this. We've talked about it several months now, but what goes into a decision like the decision to cancel or stop the production of What Do You Know?
Sure. And it's first, generally, for every program decision, we're looking at audience, we're looking at cost, we're looking at what other opportunities for programs there might be that are out there, because, of course, we changed a lot of the schedule on Saturdays and a little bit on Sundays as well. So those all go into it. And specifically for What Do You Know, the factors also included a really very steep decline in the number of stations that were carrying the show. At its peak, The show had more than 300 stations outside of Wisconsin. And now, as we looked at the fall 2015 statistics, we were down to 74 stations outside of Wisconsin. So a really nearly catastrophic loss of audience for us. And it was very discouraging because we would talk to stations and say, look, it's doing great for you. Why would you want to cancel it? And yet they did. And that was a very long-term decline over about 10 or 12 years, and was the subject of ongoing conversation with Michael Feldman, who was a wonderful partner, by the way, in trying to figure out ways to stem the tide, if you will, including his idea, which became the What Do You Know Radio Hour, which was an edited version, which a lot of program directors around the country had been asking for. I always liked his way of saying, we'll call it Not Much Radio, and it was determined later, call it What Do You Know Radio Hour, but that was one of his innovations working with us, and he helped us to control costs. It was really a great partnership that lasted for 31 years.
Yeah, and Michael has decided on his own to start a podcast, is that right?
Yeah, he's been funny about it. He's has his own kind of reluctance about it, but he is, and that means there will be some live shows for people that would like to continue to see it. They won't be broadcasts on WPR, but they will be podcasts on the net. And he has a website, whatyouknow.net. And we've also gone ahead and linked the old notmuch.com to that as well. So either way, you can find that and go see it if you want. And we really do wish Michael and the show the best as they take on this new chapter.
We are talking with Mike Crane during the July edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike is here to answer any questions you have about Wisconsin Public Radio, our programming, our operations, our fundraising, our other services. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine along with WPR Director Mike Crane. This is Mondays with Mike on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane for the July edition of Mondays with Mike. If you have a question for Mike, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones. Diane in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I've really missed having a good automobile program on public radio. I was a big fan of Matt Joseph. And 2 weeks ago on NPR, they piloted a program called The Ride, and it was just excellent. It was an hour-long program that was very eclectic, sort of like a 60 Minutes about cars. They talked about new cars, car repair. They got just about everything in an hour that you could get. So I was wondering if Wisconsin Public Radio could look at The Ride.
The Ride.
Yeah, I this is the very first I've heard of it, Diane. Thanks for letting us know. Maybe. A lot of times what's happening around the country, and our WPR Next project will be like that, is stations are trying out new things. It sounds like The Ride is one of those. And they may or may not be offered for distribution nationally. Sometimes what we've seen is that things start as a podcast and then maybe later get offered as a radio broadcast. And in fact, some of the requests we've had over time here have been people have heard a podcast they really like and said, could we have that on the radio? So that's something we'll be keeping an eye out for. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Let's go to Joan next in Madison. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. It's good to talk to you. It's nice that you give your phone number and that we're able to talk to you. My question to your guest is, your Saturday morning programming, People's Pharmacy, Garden Talk, and Dr. Zorba, they give out this phone number all the time, and they want you to call, but you cannot talk to these people on Saturday morning. Why is that? You call that number, and you get some recording saying they're out of the office or whatever. And on Saturday mornings, you cannot communicate with these three programs. Why is that?
It's a great question, Joan, and actually it will also be true now of our noon edition on Saturday of Kevin McKinley on Your Money. And the basic idea there, and this is true of Car Talk, it's true of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and other programs, including the ones that you mentioned, is that they're actually call-out programs, not call-in programs. And the story is that these programs are prepared during the week for broadcast on the weekend. And so what they're doing when they're giving out the phone number is they're hoping that people will call, and typically, every show is a little different, but typically leave a message so that they could be on a future show. So, for instance, let's take our show, Dr. Zorba, because it's a really good example of that. That Dr. Zorba is in here recording
Tuesdays,
and not every Tuesday, but frequently. And they will use the calls that they've been getting over the course of a week to kind of queue up who they might talk to. And that does help organize the shows and make sure that the hour is packed with really great information and great calls. But it is very different from what we're doing right now, where we're taking the live calls. And then in the case of Kevin McKinley and Garden Talk, it's really just a repeat of the broadcast. We structure it so that we can do that.
And it should be noted that Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a national show, and stations around the country are airing that at different times.
Right.
And so therefore, then people all over the country can call in and say, hey, I've got a question for Zorba, and maybe Zorba's production staff will call that person back. So people from all over the country can participate and be scheduled to talk when the program is taped.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, we have never figured out anywhere in public radio a way to both give out the number, which we really want to do, but say, hey, it's taped. You know, that it's hard for us to do that. And our general understanding is that the number of people who call in is a very small percentage of the number of people who listen. And so that has not seemed like a significant enough worry for us to stop bringing you the fun programs.
It'd be very hard to edit out every time I set a number during On Your Money for the rebroadcast. Same with Garden Talk, because there'd be a bunch of time that would be edited out of the show. So that'd be hard to do. But Joan, People's Pharmacy is live on Saturday morning. It is not on Saturday afternoons, but People's Pharmacy is a live broadcast on Saturday mornings at 6. So if you got a recording, if you called in, it might have been because they were doing a rebroadcast at that time.
Or they were already overwhelmed.
Yeah, that could be.
Because the national shows get tons of calls in many cases.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Great question,
Joan. Really good question. Patty on Facebook writes, I love that Says You is on Saturday and Sunday. I would love Away with Words and America's Test Kitchen repeated as well. So any possibility of repeating those shows, Mike?
Not in the very near term. We'd like to sort of sit still with the program changes for a while and see what effect they have. One of the challenges that you have whenever you make program changes is there's typically a sort of a dip in audience as people figure out the new schedule. And if you've gotten it right, then the audience grows over time. And so we'll be looking for that.
Yeah. We also had a call who just wants to know, what are the metrics that Wisconsin Public Radio looks at to determine if a particular program is successful or not?
So there are a few different measures. The key metric, people think it might be the pledge drive, but actually the pledge drive itself doesn't give us as much information as we'd like, because many times if a show already has a ton of fans who are already contributors, you might not get a lot of calls during that particular hour. Or on the other hand, you may get a ton of calls for some special reason, like the thank you gift that Kevin McKinley offers or something like that. So that's an imperfect measure for sure. The most important in terms of just the audience number question is that we use the Nielsen's, used to be called Arbitron, and we're looking at the average quarter hour audience for a particular program and looking at how long people kind of hang on. So, for instance, if a show loses a lot of audience over the course of an hour, that's going to be something that we'll be concerned about. If it hangs on or even builds audience during the hour, that's very positive. And probably the the thing that is the real key for us to look at is a figure they call loyalty. There's some math involved, but what it basically means is a listener's or a group of listeners, really, propensity to be tuned into our program or to other radio. Radio off is another matter, but if they're listening to the radio, are they listening to our program or to another radio station? And when you see our listeners not listening to us, but still listening to the radio, that can be a very telling thing for saying, you know, we might need to make a change there.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he stops by once a month to talk with you about whatever's on your mind regarding Wisconsin Public Radio, whether it's programming or fundraising or special events or whatever issue matters to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Francisco in Bailey's Harbor is with us now. Hi, Francisco.
Hi, good morning to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't contribute too much to Wisconsin Public Radio because of your policies towards Mexicans. You know, we Mexicans are about 40 million people here in the United States. 50% of the people in Mexico are in the United States. That's about 40 to 50 million. You can disregard that and say that there are only 11 million. But, you know, we are forced to go to alternative ways to have radio programs, because you guys don't care about us. I hear about Hmongs, I hear about Blacks, I hear about everything that happens in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, everywhere. You know, we have to listen to it, but nothing, not a word about Mexico that feeds you during the winter from where you get 90% of your citrus fruits.
Well, all right, Francisco, we certainly try to talk about various issues regarding the Latino population from time to time.
No, wait a minute. Let's cut the word Latino out, okay?
Oh, okay.
It's Mexican. The Puerto Ricans are making a bundle on us because they have political clout if they have Latinos, but the Cubans, the same thing. No, I'm talking about the Mexicans. You have a country there that has given you one-third of your land mass. We have a country that gives you oil. We have a country that gives you their back. The Mexican families spend $1 million equivalent to raise one kid so you can work him.
Yeah, I get it, Francisco, and I do. You are obviously speaking very passionately about what you're not hearing, and maybe I should repeat that we do on this show and other talk shows from time to time talk about immigration reform issues, which deal with mostly Mexican immigration. However, Mike, what about that? Francisco doesn't hear himself enough and these issues enough on the radio.
Well, and I would venture to guess that many people feel they don't hear themselves. And so we do take that to heart, Francisco. Thank you for those comments. And I think part of what your comments reveal to others who maybe haven't paid attention to it is that even within what the traditional majority white population thinks is one group, Latinos, there's actually a great spectrum of viewpoints and backgrounds and histories and contributions to the health of the country and so on. And so we'll take your comment as an admonition for us to do better on it. Yeah. And so we thank you for that. And we are very aware of the need for WPR to reflect the voices and the interests of many, many people. So I'm sorry that we're failing you.
Yeah. And again, I'm not necessarily saying that everybody is reflected by the new show that we put on, Mike, but we did recently add to the lineup Latino USA on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock.
That's right. And that is an attempt to address some of what Francisco is bringing to us, but You know, I remember very vividly in Orlando, where I used to be prior to being here, that the same issues that Francisco has surfaced were a very big deal in that spectrum of Latino communities, that you would hear a lot of difference between what the people with a Mexican background thought compared to Puerto Ricans, et cetera. And so I think there's, for me, the encouraging thing is there's a lot more for us to cover. We have a lot of topics that we could do more with, and so we'll endeavor to do that. Thank you, Francisco.
Yes, and we will. Thank you, Francisco. Let's go to Larry in Rockford next. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning. I love WPR programs. I really, really do. It's on the radio all day. I would like to have more University of the Air, maybe a daily half hour somewhere in there. You know, just to like bring history or literature or something like that to those of us who would maybe like to go to, back to college or to college, and, you know, and just see what it's like and just be kind of into that mode of learning again, something new. And the university is such a great resource, you know. What's new in zoology? What's new in anthropology from A to Z? You know, and just kind of bring this that stimulation. I'd sure appreciate it.
Maybe that's what's next, Mike.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Norman, who's one of the co-hosts of University of the Air, does is he's actually doing some television programs with a project on Wisconsin Public Television called University Place. And I would encourage you to check that out, too, if you can, either if you receive WPT over the air. They've got a lot of those lectures and things on what they call the Wisconsin Channel, or you can watch them online as well. And so you'll see Norman from University of the Air on some of those. That's at WPT.org. And then just search for University Place, and you can watch those. But I really do appreciate the suggestion, because going back to our roots, we are based at the University of Wisconsin. We're housed in University of Wisconsin Extension, and we do have a deep interest in lifelong learning, whether it's University of the Air or not. Thanks for the comment.
Thank you very much, Larry. Now we go to Mary in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, here I am again. I know the number by heart, but I do love especially the Joy Cardine Show, but all of Wisconsin Public Radio. My suggestion would be, and I had actually contacted someone, and they contacted me back for for an advertisement, you know, so that I would be able to say how much I love Wisconsin Public Radio in my own words. So more of that, and then listener participation, which you always have on all subjects, but maybe a show in and of itself where people call in with whatever subject they like. Maybe it would be a poem they wrote or something special in Wisconsin or local, or, you know, just basically call in show for the listeners.
So just an open line that anything goes,
yeah,
kind of a thing, Mary?
Right. Mm-hmm. Something on that order. Right.
Well, what do you think of that, Mike?
You know, we do occasionally do that, although, honestly, Mary, we've tended to reserve that for the we cannot get in touch with our guest kind of emergencies. So maybe something for producers to think about. The challenge is designing a show that lots of people will find compelling, but also is really participatory. So worth some creative thinking, perhaps.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks for the idea of doing a testimonial for us. That's wonderful. That's what she meant by, you know, doing an advertisement and just showing your enthusiasm for WPR, as you just did, really helps other listeners to consider committing to financially supporting it. So that's great.
Let's talk a little bit, Mike, now about some new on-air staff that listeners are hearing or will be hearing soon on Wisconsin Public Radio, including we have a new fill-in host who has just arrived at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, that's Kate Archer-Kent, and people might have heard her even last week during the newscasts here on the Ideas Network. She's also filling in for All Things Considered on the other network, and she will sometimes fill in the future once we've done some changes in staffing. she may fill in for you, Joy, right? At one point. And we look forward to. She sounds great. She's very talented. She's a former news producer and morning edition host for Red River Radio. Doesn't that sound? That's Shreveport, Louisiana. She launched the news division there in 2006, and she has been named Reporter of the Year 5 times by the Louisiana Associated Press Broadcasters Association. So people will be hearing her on WPR and all kinds of places.
Yes, welcome to Kate. And then we have a new host for Simply Folk.
Yes. And now Stephanie's not going away.
Yeah.
She's simply reducing her very long week. So Dan Robinson is joining us as the new host of Simply Folk. He's a performer, a public speaker, a concert presenter, an event producer. He also worked in student affairs at St. Norbert College for many years. He's active in community service and is a longtime fan of Simply Folk, so I think he's pretty thrilled to be taking the show on. And Stephanie Elkins continues to host classical music every weekday morning on The Other Network, and she'll have maybe an occasional sub shift there for Dan. And there's other people that work on the show as well. Sheila Shigley and Jeff Durkee help out, and our wonderful volunteer, Kathy Miner. They'll all continue to work with Dan, and Stephanie will still be here, too. So that sounds like a lot of goodness, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And if you are interested in an opportunity at Wisconsin Public Radio, we do have some openings here and there, and we post them on our website.
Yeah, and we've really had some great candidates come along just because they heard on the radio that there might be a job in the radio. It's WPR.org/jobs.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's here to answer your questions about WPR or respond to your feedback about WPR. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with WPR Director Mike Crane. Mike joins us once a month to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your questions. We welcome your feedback at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We already talked about some of the special political programming coming up on Wisconsin Public Radio, including the convention coverage of the Republican and Democratic national conventions, which are coming up later this month. We also talked about the candidate forums that we will be holding on The Joy Cardine Show and on Central Time. Another thing that's going on Central Time, Mike, is a special summer music series, Set List. What can you tell us about this?
It's a really fun series. We have it on Fridays at 4:15 on Central Time and then anytime online. So if this sounds interesting, check out WPR.org/setlist. S-E-T-L-I-S-T. And it's a series that includes all kinds of music. You know, we have a lot of world and folk music that people enjoy on WPR already. Setlist features hip-hop, indie, rock, and more. Kind of stuff that may be new to WPR, but that audiences are very interested in. And a couple of our videos for Setlist have been picked up by NPR Music, which has been really nice as well. So I encourage people to check out both the radio broadcast and then the video as well.
Very nice. Very nice. Is this an attempt to reach out to younger listeners, Mike?
It certainly is. And as you know, I think it was in your tone of voice there, Joy, you're saying people encourage us to do that all the time.
Yeah,
here.
They do.
And a younger and more diverse audience is a part of what we're trying to do. And the internet is one of the places where a lot of stations are having more success doing that. So that's one of the places. And As with podcasts and things like that, they have on-air manifestations as well.
You know, speaking of music, Mike, the last time I saw you out and about at a special WPR event, it was in Appleton. We both attended a supporter event, a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter event, and we did a panel discussion on the power of music and music education and the benefits of music education. We talked with a number of people who are involved with Appleton's Mile of Music Festival, which is coming up the first weekend in August. I think it's the 4th through the 7th, and that was a very nice event, and we had a nice group that showed up to listen along and to nosh a little bit on food and say hello.
You know, what it's making me think of, Joy, is that in that particular case, we didn't do a broadcast. We did something like a broadcast, but we're really trying to reach audiences wherever they are. And that's certainly on the radio and online, but also in person. And so that was a really nice opportunity to interact, including during the noshing time, as you called it, to interact with listeners and find out about what they're thinking about. Kind of like this show, but in a very different sense. And that was very enjoyable, and the setting was wonderful. It was at the Trout Museum, and there's this wonderful exhibit that I encourage people to get to that is just these remarkable photographs of Vietnam veterans taken by Wisconsin Public Television's Jim Gill. There's also the Face for Every Name exhibit, which is a photograph of every Vietnam veteran that was lost in Wisconsin in the Vietnam War, and so that is also a big deal to see.
And indeed, there is a special event coming up where that this is the Wisconsin Remembers exhibit will be at the Operation Persian Gulf Welcome Home event.
That's right. It's at the High Ground in Neillsville. It's a week-long event honoring veterans, and in this case, those who lost their lives in the Persian Gulf region and the families of those who served. It's an event for all Persian Gulf veterans across the country, not only Wisconsin, and it's going to have military reunions, healing, recognition, and remembrance. And in addition, we will have the Wisconsin Remembers A Face for Every Name exhibit on display at the High Ground. There's more information at wpr.org/highground.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If you have a question or a comment about Wisconsin Public Radio events or fundraising or operations or programming, anything goes. It's Mondays with Mike with WPR Director Mike Crane. We do have some comments on Facebook, Mike, from a few listeners who don't like that WPR is now offering a sports show. Apparently, these comments are referring to Only a Game, which we are now airing on the Ideas Network. Is that Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday morning.
Sundays at 7 a.m. And so what Only a Game is, it's not, tell me what Only a Game is about.
Well, yes, it's a sports show, but it really isn't about covering the scores and all that. It's about sports as a part of our culture. And all you have to do is hang out on any given Sunday and in Wisconsin and notice that even for people who just don't care about sports at all, they seem to care about the Packers.
Yeah.
And so just that little nugget is a thought for what inspires the folks who do Only a Game to cover sports as a part of our culture. And, I understand some people think sports is a subject that doesn't belong. Judging from the fact that newspapers continue to have extensive sports sections, I think that a lot of people are interested, and I encourage people to give it a chance before you decide, oh, that's about sports, I don't care about it, because there really are some really interesting topics.
Yeah. We also have Sue on Facebook who writes, do you think it is time to change the music between segments? I'm wondering if she heard this particular little tidbit of music, snippet of music, is brand new. So it's not that. I'm not sure, Mike.
Well, I think that could be, the decisions about little things like that, like what music to play, how many seconds to linger on something. Those are actually deeply thought out once in a while. But then you put aside those thoughts. For instance, the Morning Edition theme on the other network, that's been the same theme for many, many years. Clearly someone was thinking about it because they've done this thing for the last few months now of having people submit their own version of the Morning Edition theme. Maybe they're hoping that the new hip-hop version I heard the other day will be the new theme of Morning Edition. So it is something, it's an artistic question, and depending on the show, maybe it is time to change those up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's different theme songs. We do play little snippets of music during this show, like right after a break or going into the particular the introduction to the show. I will say that Marika Suval, one of our producers who works on producing shows for this show and Central Time and other shows, she took on the special project of updating our music library. So that's why I know that this particular snippet that I just played is brand new. She just selected it. So we're trying to freshen things up, at least when it comes to the music we play on the talk shows.
Well, and you know, there is a sort of a dance that we do in terms of creating radio. We always want something fresh. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, familiarity, although it can also breed you-know-what, familiarity can actually help people to feel good about listening. You know, if you think of those stories you've heard of people who've had the kid in the back seat who grows up listening to public radio, and suddenly they're going, and they know exactly what it is, even if they haven't learned to verbalize, oh, I'm listening to All Things Considered, you know. So we're always working on that, and thanks to Sue for that comment.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to thank Marika Suval for working on as a special project for the Joy Cardine Show over the past couple of months, actually. We are right now broadcasting what we call a paperless show. Now, it's not entirely paperless, but it is a way for us to read information about a show electronically without having a reams and reams of paper scattered in front of me, which I normally would have. And right now I am looking at an iPad for the most part during this show for a good deal of the information that I have for the show. And that's something that Marika Suval has done for the Joy Cardine Show, and Central Time already is paperless. Mm-hmm. I am the next guinea pig, and pretty soon Larry Mueller and Kathleen Dunn will also be paperless, so we'll be very eco-friendly.
Yeah, that's good news, because the reports of a paperless office anywhere have certainly been overestimated over time. So it's good to be making moves like that. And in fact, that's one of the things I've been doing for a while, is instead of printing out the prep sheets that are prepared for me to come here with Joy, I have it right here on the computer, and I'm able to take some good notes. And one of the things I like to do is actually to share some of the comments that come out over this hour. I share them with the entire staff and let them know what I mentioned, that sort of thing. And we really do like to make sure that people are very aware of listener input. And so this is a nice tool to help me do that.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Jacob in Burlington is with us next. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. Yes, I'm from Burlington. The public high school here has a low-power radio station that's completely staffed by students. They have a faculty advisor. It's been running for years. I think there's other high schools that have the same, might have the same thing going on. But it's a wonderful station, mostly music oriented, but they do some talks. I wonder if there isn't some synergies or potential outreach between WPR and like this high school, even for employees. These kids are way ahead of the curve on production and radio broadcasting and things. But also, as well as reaching out to a younger audience, I'm wondering if there isn't some potential synergies between the two.
Mike?
Could be. Thanks for the thought, Jacob. One of the things that's happened in the last couple of years is that we're seeing a huge growth in stations that are I'm guessing the high school has a low power FM, which is a particular kind of license, but they may have a regular full power FM station. We're seeing all over the state additional stations coming onto the airwaves. I know of at least three just here in Madison where I live, and you're exactly right. It's producing a lot of creativity and involving young people. There's a specific project at the Lucier Center here in Madison. You've got your high school there. Some people know this, but not everybody, that there are two high school stations that are a part of the WPR network. And basically what they're doing is they're using WPR for those times when it's maybe hard for the students to be on for whatever schedule reason, or there aren't enough students to keep the station running full time. So WSHS in Sheboygan is one of the WPR affiliate stations, and WEPS in Elgin, Illinois. And we're very proud to be associated with them, and we look forward to learning more about the students, because I know many of us that work in public radio first worked at either a smaller local station that served a particular community, or in my case, college radio. Right. We have a lot of involvement with the college radio station here on campus by WPR staffers and former staffers, because you're absolutely right. There is an opportunity there that I hope we take more advantage of.
Yeah, thanks for that idea. We have Jerry on Facebook who writes, I'm not impressed with the new Ask Me Another show. It seems like a duplication, an unimpressive duplication of Away With Words, which I do enjoy very much. And then besides that, a number of people are just wondering how this show and others are going to be evaluated moving forward.
So the evaluation part will be the same as what we talked about earlier in the show, which is to look at how it's doing with the audience. Is it holding audience, or are people running away, basically? And in the case of Ask Me Another, this is a show that I think we'll find divided opinion about, because younger people, so-called millennials and so on, seem to love it. Older people, not as much. And so we'll see how that goes. But certainly as we've been encouraged to have programs that are appealing to younger people, that would be on the list.
Yeah. You know, Mike, we are getting closer and closer to WPR Centennial.
Yes.
And we will be, isn't it next year that we will?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, when people are making history, they don't necessarily write it down as such.
Yeah.
So why is 2017 our 100th anniversary? Well, there are a couple of really fun stories about how in 1917, they, our predecessors, had figured out what they called radio telephonic broadcasting. So up until that point, they were broadcasting in the dots and dashes of Morse code. And it was in 1917 they figured out how to put audio over the radio. And so they said, that's the beginning. And so we celebrate that 100 years later. And we also have been innovators in television as well. So we'll be celebrating from 1954, public television, one of the first public television stations in the country right here. And we're really looking forward to that celebration.
Yeah. Are we going to have a big party here or something?
Yeah, there'll be a big party. We also plan to have parties around the state. We'll have some on-air messaging related to our 100th anniversary and really looking at our second century of service, because we're very focused always not only on a remarkable history, but on how we've changed and grown because of listener support in particular.
All right. Well, in our final minute, is there anything else you want to leave listeners with?
You know, there was one thing I saw in the news just this morning that I thought was fascinating and encouraging, and that is that listening to public radio is up.
Yay.
Yeah. You know, and I mean on the radio, not just all those other methods, but the 9 of the top 10 NPR news stations in the country, so in the big cities, have grown an audience. And that's just really encouraging, because people say radio listening is going down. Not there.
Well,
very encouraging.
That is encouraging. And we will talk more in August for the August edition of
Mondays
with
Mike.
Sounds good. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He joins us once a month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you to producers Bill Martins, to Chris Molina, and to Kai Brito. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.